Hello, welcome. And I don't sound like David Maines or Karen Maines, but I am related to them. I am their third child. My name is Joel Maines. And when you say you're the son of somebody, you don't always get the picture of a 55-year-old person, but that's what I am. We are here today doing something a little different. So hopefully you enjoy this as you listen, because I am going to take my dad and take him out of his element here a little bit. And we're going to try something different with the podcast.
Welcome to the Before We Go podcast, featuring Dr. David Maines and his son, Joel Maines. Here's David and Joel Maines.
So I'm talking with you, Dad. Good morning. So we are sitting here and I'm going to throw you some, we're just trying something new, I guess is the best way to say it.
Probably should say why Mom is not here.
Yeah, okay.
We've had long discussions. She has books she's trying to finish before we go. And I said, you'll never do it if we keep podcasting all the time. And so she said, well, what am I going to do? I said, okay, we'll figure out what to do with the podcast for a period of time till you get that first of three books you say you have to write before you die. And so we're giving her that break.
So we're giving her a break, absolutely. And then for you, you're getting a little bit of a break because I'm throwing my dad a little curveball here because if you know anything about him, he's done radio for many, many, many years, and every program has been thought out. My parents will practice a podcast before they go on it, and that just comes from your broadcast training. So you'll kind of run through it, get your head around it, but it's a lot of work. You always have your key sentence that you go with, and then you said, well, Joel, can you do this interview? And I said, yes, but I don't want to go through all of that because I think I don't want you to. Well, sometimes I say you put a lot of work in it, and it gives you some stress, and that bothers me that as you get older, you're adding stress. So I said, we're going to do this like, you know, podcasts are different these days. They're not like a radio program. And so if we can just have a discussion that's laid back and
I said you were in charge, and that's unusual for me as well.
That felt immensely wonderful when you said that, actually. So if you could say it again, I would like that.
I said, you will be in charge because you're asking me to go to into territory I've not walked before.
He's practically sitting in his stool in a fetal position. So,
because I have no idea where we're headed.
Right. No key sentence to fall back on.
You understand.
Here, so, but my hope is, as you're listening, you get to maybe hear my father in a different way. And also, he can kind of, because of you, the way you do your programs, which are very thematic, you always have a key sentence. If you haven't picked that up as you've listened, start listening in the future when they're back into their more regular programs with Mom and things like that. And you will hear that there's always a key sentence, and that's important to you.
Maybe not today, but
there won't be one today. That's right. But I do think one of the downsides of that is that does mean you can't have more of a conversation about your past. And when you first started talking about this broadcast before we go, I was kind of excited because it was like, okay, good, you're going to get to say things before we go, right? Before our time here is done. And that's really good. But that also means with the thematic focus, we can't just go back and I can't, you know, this will be more of an interview. Tell me about your past. Tell me about growing up, things like that. That's also very interesting to me as your son, because I get to hear these. Probably these are going to be some stories that I've heard before, but maybe not. Maybe I'm going to hear seeing things for the first time as well. When I was in high school, I ran for student council president, and then I actually became student council president in high school, and I came home, and I was quite excited about it, of course, and then you told me that night, you said, well, I was student council president too. And I said, oh my goodness, why in the world did you know? So then I had no idea of that. So
interesting.
Mm-hmm. So if I had not won, I guess that would have gone to the grave.
That's funny.
So let's, you know, Mom will be back and the regular programs will be back. But for a little while, you and I are going to try this method. So I'm going to take him out of his element a little bit here, folks. So I hope you enjoy that. And
you know, sounds interesting already. I can hardly wait to hear what I'm going to say.
I can't wait either.
I, at this point in time, have nothing in mind to say.
Okay. So you are how old now?
I am 87. I will be 88 in August.
So you were born when?
1936.
36. Do you know who was president in 1936?
I didn't even know we had presidents. No, I don't remember, but I'm assuming it was probably FDR.
FDR. Okay.
I don't know. I may be wrong on that.
Okay. Who's the first president you remember?
The first name that comes to my mind is probably Truman.
Truman. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I remember the Truman-Dewey presidential election.
That's the one where they misprinted it in the...
Yeah, the Tribune said that...
Dewey won.
Dewey won, yeah. I don't know, because I've not been asked those questions before. I'm kind of putting it together, because if I say Roosevelt and then he died 40 years before...
Someone's going to fact check it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to place it. So the America that you grew up in was very different than... It is now, certainly
incredibly
different than,
so.
Because I feel the America now is not what I grew up in. I'm not trying to get political here, but just, you know, cultures progress and change for better mm-hmm. and worse. And
it was a different world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was, I was raised in Quincy, Illinois, which is about 50,000, okay. Southern Illinois, not the Chicagoland area. But that life that I knew then maybe is still experienced some in smaller communities or farm communities, but it's very different to me. Yeah, so you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so not rural. You were not in like farmland, but surrounded by farmland.
That's correct.
A small little city surrounded by farmland, mm-hmm. but kind of Americana.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. And not too far from Peoria, Illinois, which...
Would be bigger.
Yeah, but Peoria was kind of like, what was the marketing thing they used to say? Well, if it plays in Peoria, then, because it was, Peoria was kind of like, kind of a conglomerate of like Americana. Mm-hmm. And so they would, the marketers would go to Peoria and try to see if they could mm-hmm. get their stuff to fly. But Quincy's not too, probably fairly close to that, but smaller.
I would assume that you got it right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you grew up, did you grow up in a church home?
I was in church more than I was in the home. I look back, and more of late, I'm incredibly grateful for that upbringing.
What does that mean, though, when you say you were in church? I know you were teasing here a little, but you were going to church Sunday, obviously, so then Wednesday as well?
Twice Sundays, Wednesdays, yes.
Why would you go twice
Vacation
Sundays?
Bible school. Well, because they had an evening service. So, on Sundays.
So how did that work? You would go, and then you would go home, eat, and then go back to church?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big thing when they stopped having evening services. Church was our life. That was it. I am very grateful for it. At the same time, I was over-churched in some ways. I'm looking back, and church dominated our lives. Yeah, my folks were church people, and not only Sundays, but you know, other days of the week. Even though Dad worked a full-time job, he was a traveling salesman, so he was gone a lot. But they had very powerful conversion experiences. It was up in Chicago.
Your parents did
up in Chicago. At Paul Rader is a big name, not for the generations now, but that was a huge name. He was the pastor at the Chicago Gospel Tabernacle. I had them drive me by that later in my life because I heard stories about it all the time, and it's now a large grocery store. But Dad was converted, and probably Mom as well, under his ministry, and it profoundly affected their lives. Neither of my folks, this was depression, okay? Mm-hmm. Depression was...
Oh, 30s.
30s, yeah, 29, 39, in that time frame. Those are the big years,
yeah.
But... People couldn't work. My folks, they remember that very much.
I don't think anyone who lived through that was not affected by it. I mean, I remember when Dobby, who was my grandma on Mom's side, mm-hmm. passed, and the house had to be cleaned out and stuff, but it was drawers of rubber bands, and you saved tin foil, and you mm-hmm. it was all this idea of, well, you never know, so save everything, because who knows when you'll need that twine. So clearly those are people who've been affected so profoundly by that extended period of depression.
It doesn't, in my memory, I have no memory of depression, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and they talked of it often. It's the reason Mom and Dad, as far as I can understand, left the Chicagoland area, because there wasn't work. See, Dad was the last of five brothers. His mom was a widow. His dad died when he was like 1 or 2 years old, and his dad was a lawyer, so he was a professional man. But basically, Dad grew up with very little, and he never got through high school. That bothered him, but he became very successful.
So when you say he didn't get through high school...
Mom didn't either.
So neither of your parents graduated high school. How did that work? I don't think... Well, I guess you could drop out, but...
Yeah,
it was just not done. It wasn't as strange back then, though.
People had to get work somehow. They didn't have money.
Right. You
know? And so... Yeah, my dad was a very intelligent man, but it wasn't school training. It was a certain moxie that he is, a phenomenal salesperson, and people liked him very much. And he was a genuine individual. He was a Christian in every sense of the word. And so I look back; they were wonderful. I never thought, you know, that Dad and Mom graduated from high school. They were just my parents, and they were great.
They made their way in the world. I mean,
he did very well. My dad earned a lot of money. He got into buying buildings and everything, and he was well known in the business world. But I was just, you know, I was a kid. I was just observing.
Right. Okay, but this is what made you. If people have, you know, listened to you on the radio for years, or I would say, you know, with the Chapel of the Year radio broadcast or whatever, you know, you were a broadcaster of a certain level. You were not a Dobson, you weren't Chuck Swindoll or something like that, but you were kind of in the middle as far as maybe people knowing you. But you've always had, you know, people have always kind of thought of you as someone with integrity, thinking maybe different and out of the box, not theologically, but... you were more fireside chatty as far as your tone. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Would you take those?
Yeah, I was not. My mother's brother was John Jess. He was her younger brother. And he was a depression person as well. You know, those were difficult days. He didn't have an education that he would have appreciated, because he was a real thinker. But in those days... they've not been repeated. You had to live through them, I guess. And
you're talking the depression,
the depression, and then not long after that, the things that I remember most of all as a young boy was the war.
World War II.
Two, yes,
right?
Yeah. Of the five brothers, all the other brothers went to war, but Dad didn't. I don't know why. I don't know if this is true, but I. He was the last one, so they kind of left him alone, I think. Because
the government did, you mean?
Who's yes, they? The government, thank you. And because Dad was the one who was supporting his mom, so she came and lived with us, my grandmother.
What was her name? I've never met her.
She was a big part of my life.
What did you call her?
I don't remember what we called her. Her name was Ida Myers. Now, the reason her name was different is that after her husband died, later in life she remarried, but then the new husband died as well. Grandmother came, and she was a part of my early years. I would say the first 8-10 years, Grandma came and lived. She lived in a trailer behind our house, and she was a big part of my life. Yeah, and she was a church woman as well.
Mm-hmm. So when we think about what influenced you and then your ministry, of course, you grew up in these heavily churched home. Now, I think of Grandma and Grandpa as people with a simple faith, not in the best sort of sense. They were not like someone who would...
He wasn't a seminary trained
right,
or anything like that.
Just a salt of the earth kind of, but dedicated in their faith. Is that a fair...
It was the biggest thing in their lives. Yes, there's not a question about that in my mind.
And did... grandma did, and I know she played piano, and as she got older, as she had passed from Alzheimer's, sometimes grandpa would need to go out, so I would go spend time with grandma. And one of the things we would do is she would play at the piano, and, you know, it was always the hymns. It was just, it was, you know, she would play it. The old Rugged Cross or something like that, and we would sing it, and then we'd sing a couple more, and then she'd, you know, flip back, and then you'd be like, oh, this, I love this one, and of course it would be the old Rugged Cross again, so you'd sing it again as, as she progressed. But did she play in church, or?
Yeah, all the time. My dad was a good vocalist, not in a professional sense, in a crooner sense, I guess you'd say. But, yeah, again, church was everything. It just, Dad was responsible in many ways for, you know, the building of a church, a Baptist church. They began that congregation. It's a very large church now in Quincy. I haven't been down there for years, but that was his life. It had been profoundly affected. In fact, when Dad was a good musician, self-trained, I don't know how, he never took lessons to my knowledge, but he was a good piano player.
Amazing.
His older brothers, they played in orchestra that was going as a pleasure ship across from the States to Europe and back, and it was an opportunity for Dad to be a part of that as well. They were going to use their brother thing to make him a part of the
brother
deal.
Act.
Yeah, and my grandma Myers said, no, the devil got three of my sons. They're not going to get Dougie.
Wow.
So she refused to let him go, which was really interesting.
And which changed his life, for sure.
It did. Yeah, it really did. It's very funny talking about past. I have talked about these things, and I think, golly sakes, that was a part of my childhood. I had an older brother, and I had a younger sister. My older brother, Doug, has died. He was an orthopedic surgeon. And was my protector. It was good to have an older brother like Doug. And then my sister Donna is still alive. And so we knew who we were. We were Christians. There's no question about that, even though I didn't understand what that meant for a long time. And I never intended to go into ministry. But, you know, you don't always know exactly what's going to come in terms of your future.
Never say never. With life.
Yeah, this is interesting to me and you. I don't know if it's interesting to anybody else.
Well, I think it's interesting for people who maybe want to know about you. When we think about where you would consider yourself growing up, would you have used the term evangelical?
Yes, I think so. When I was growing up, and now I'm getting later in my thinking into high school and such, Billy Graham began to emerge on the scene. And I think he's the one who coined that word for the most part. And evangelical, yeah, you were evangelistic. You were wanting to let other people know the good thing that you had found in Jesus.
Right. I would say evangelicalism at that point, I think there's been shifts in it, but was, you know, very Bible-focused. The Bible is where we find our truth. A personal relationship with Jesus would be very much part of that.
Yes.
So when we get into your ministry, and we're going to go back, but as far as why are people interested. So you were primarily starting out in Christian radio, which we're talking Moody, we're talking, how many stations were?
We were on about 500 stations.
500 stations, okay. Pretty huge impact, 15-minute broadcast daily.
Six days a week.
Yeah. But Christian radio was not really evangelical in that sense. I would call them more fundamentalists. Is that fair or no?
I think it's fair. You're talking about before my days, but there was a huge schism within the Christian church between the liberals and the conservatives. Both sides had good things and both sides had bad things.
And when you're talking liberal, though, we're talking what? Are you talking mainline churches like Methodists? And
a lot of them, yes.
All of that. And then the conservative would be, you're talking an evangelical then, or the fundamentalist, are you talking just in broad strokes?
I'm talking broad strokes, yeah, because you could be Methodist, and that doesn't say whether you're conservative or liberal. You know, one side was far more in terms of the concerns of social things that were happening in the day, became a little bit more political and so on, but both sides, I look back, and they both were part of the kingdom of God, you know, and...
Right. I think growing up, when people... The amount of people have asked me, you know, what was it like growing up in the Maines household, or David Maines is your parent, or when people don't know you and they'll say, what did your father do? And I say, well, he had a radio ministry. People have all sorts of questions about that.
These are your friends in school when
you were
younger? Or
just people I meet, sure, okay. Of course, just conversations. Mm-hmm. But when they ask me about you, I tend to say that he was a practical theologian. That's how I describe you.
Oh, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you are not a theologian who's the expository verse by verse. I'm not talking as far as judging these things, but just as who were you? You were, what does the Bible say? How do I make that applicable to my life? We live our theology, so and if I'm not living it, then the value comes out of its living it out, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
The authenticity of what you say you believe affecting your life.
Right, but you are not as interested in clever, or like you weren't a preacher who loved acronyms, mm-hmm. or those things. I don't see, I'm not sure you were against those, but you were, if we came away from a sermon, if we went to another church or something and you'd listen, you would be like, well, is there a takeaway from that? Mm-hmm. Is somebody going to know how to live a better or more authentic mm-hmm. faith? And I think that did make you unique in the ministry. And that's why people probably resonate with you, because there was always something they could take away. So the question, when you say what's interesting to people in this, is where did that person come from? You know, what about that? Because I don't think that came necessarily from grandpa and grandma, because they were very simple faith, believe in Jesus and live out your life. Mm-hmm. You were a little more systematic. So when did you think that started coming into your ministry? Because I don't think you were taught that in seminary when you got to seminary. So that was a unique voice throughout all your ministry, probably. You were talking early ministry in the inner city with Circle Church, 50-Day Spiritual Adventure, things like that. But where do you think, where's the nugget of that, or the genesis of that for you?
I don't have enough time to even respond to your question, but I heard it, and I will say, give me more time.
You know, podcasts do go longer these days, so, you know, I know he's looking at his watch, everybody, so we'll wrap this one up here, but are you going to answer my question, or are you going to hold it as a teaser, or what are you going to do?
I will not try to answer it today. I'm very time conscious,
yes,
as you know. And I just say, that's too big a question to ask me at this time. But I promise I will, and you'll probably forget what you ask anyway.
Well, I have the luxury as your son of doing that. I do want to add this caveat that one thing about my dad is he did so much radio over the years, which, of course, when you do a radio broadcast, you're down to the second. You're purchasing time, so you have to turn in a broadcast that's X amount of length. But because you did that, you became so conscious that someone could say, well, David, we need you to go for a minute and 32 seconds. And you could extemporaneously do that. And you would be within a second or two, I would say. Is that fair?
It's a little repulsive, but you do it so often. Yeah, you're very time conscious.
Right. So this whole idea of winging a podcast is, I'm really stretching him, everybody. So, but okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because I want to make sure you're comfortable with this process. I'm going to let you end this. Can you wrap this up so we can do this? And then as we pick this up, I'll get better at maybe getting through the content in the right amount of time. But based on what we're talking about today, do you have a wrap in your head at all or no?
You're asking things that I haven't talked about, because how I communicate doesn't follow the procedure you're doing, but it's helpful to me, and I'm grateful. It's been interesting to me, so yeah, keep doing it, and we'll probably go back, and my bottom line is, be thank you, Jesus, you've been very kind to me. I feel like I was one of the fortunates who was given an incredible home, incredible parents, and so on, but we'll talk about it more.
You've been listening to the Before We Go podcast. And if you would like to write to us, please send us an email at the following address, hosts@beforewego.show. That's all lowercase letters, hosts@beforewego.show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review, and share on whatever platform you listen. This podcast is copyright 2024 by Mainstay Ministries, Post Office Box 30, Wheaton, Illinois 60187.